Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Jai Radha Madhava Kunj Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunj Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunj Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunj Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunj Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jayam Vishnupad Paramhansa Parivrajakacharya Ashtotara Sata His Divine Grace Abhay Charana Aravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Mai Ki Jai Shri Lakshmi Narasimha Dev Ki Jai Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Guru Undhina Tarinam Vancha Kalpataro Bhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha नमो महावदान्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः पंचतत्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं आराध्यो भगवान् व्रजेशतनयस् तद्धाम वृंदावनम रम्या काचिदुपासना व्रजवधु वर्गेणया कल्पिता श्रीमद्भागवतं प्रमाणममलं प्रेमापुमर्थो महान् श्रीचैतन्य महाप्रभोर्मतमिदं तत्रादरः न परः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा I was trying to think about what topic to speak and finally I selected one topic and that is a topic we are associated with every day and that is our tilak. Yes? Everyone sitting in this room has a tilak? Ask your neighbor to check whether you have or not. Why do we wear a tilak? It's so important for us. It's a part of our daily routine as devotees. And there's also a philosophy behind why a tilak is in a certain way and not another way. And we'll come to that shortly. But tilak is part of our life. It's something that becomes very natural for a devotee the moment one takes bath. One applies tilak and one is very conscious whether the tilak is visible or not and so on. So I want to ask you, why do we wear tilak? It's an important thing for a body, so one by one you could start giving some reasons. Yes. Excellent. Because we seek protection from the Lord. You can't hear? Can you hear everyone at the back? So I also felt like that because I think the sound is, even in the morning it was like that. Just see. Can you hear me now at the back? Can you hear me? If you can hear me at the back, raise your hand. Okay. Can you hear me at the back over there? Can you hear? If you can, you can't hear. Okay, so what do we do? Shukadev Goswami didn't need that when he was speaking. Neither did Suta Goswami need, but we are neither Shukadev nor Suta Goswami, so we need. Yes, one of the important things is the mobile phones have to be switched off. So can someone please inquire if you can hear at the back? Can you now hear? Okay.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. So for those who have just arrived, our topic for today is going to be the Tilak.
You know, Tilak was considered a normal part of any cultured person's routine in the past, but not anymore. Anyway, so I was asking you, why do we wear tilak? So one answer that has come is that it offers us protection. Excellent. Srila Prabhupada also gave this answer one time in a letter to one devotee about why tilak is, why our foreheads are adorned with tilak. And this was one reason he gave. He said that it offers the devotee complete protection. As you know, we apply tilak on 12 places of the body, and then on the 13th at the shikha, we wipe our hands. So each of these places is protected. Those parts of the body are protected. And we invoke the name of a certain form of the Lord for that particular location. And we see in Krishna Leela, when Krishna killed Putana, then naturally all the Brajavasis were very anxious. They were horrified to see the original form of Putana, 8 miles long, as a hideous Rakshasi, with long teeth and a horrible appearance. When she came to the house of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, she had assumed the form of a very beautiful young lady. But she could not hold that form when Sri Krishna killed her by sucking out the very life airs from her. And the Brajabasis became so anxious. This was the first such incident after Krishna's appearance. Krishna was only a few days old at that time. Then Mother Yashoda, in her anxiety, started doing all kinds of rituals for the protection of Krishna. She waved the swish of a cow tail. She swished the end of a cow tail. She applied tilak made out of cow urine and cow dung all over Krishna's body as she chanted Lord Vishnu's names for protection of Krishna. So even Krishna was offered that kind of protection by Mother Yashoda. So we wear tilak for the sake of protection. And since we are on that letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote, a second reason that Prabhupada gave is that when we wear a tilak, it's a representation of a Radha Krishna temple. Very interesting that you remind people of Radha and Krishna, and it's a temple. The body is also a temple of Krishna, isn't it? Because the Lord is there as the Paramatma or the Super Soul in the heart. So the body in any case is a temple, but we don't tend to remember that. We forget that. In our bodily concept of life, we somehow neglect the divinity of the origin of our body. The body is made of material energy. Material energy is Krishna's energy. This body is also the residence of the Lord as a Paramatma. So if we consider the body as a temple of the Lord, then we must indicate it also as such. So therefore, the tilak is an indication that this is a temple of Radha and Krishna. So that's the second reason for adorning ourselves with tilak. Any other reasons? Yes. Yes. And when the tilak is marked on the forehead, that's an indication of the Lord's lotus feet. Now, I want to point out that there are two, broadly speaking, two categories of tilak. One is called the Urdhva Pundra. Urdhva means upward. Pundra means a lotus. So the Urdhva Pundra, the upward mark, represents the lotus feet of the Lord. So therefore the Urdhva Pundra Tilak is worn by Vaishnavas. As opposed to that, there is a second category of Tilak, which is the Tripundra or the Triyak Pundra, three lines which are across the forehead. That is an indication of a Shaiva, one who is a follower of a Shaiva or who is a Smartha and so on, not a Vaishnava. So generally one is a Vaishnava strictly forbidden to wear or adorn himself or herself with a Tripundra. Anyone, there are so many injunctions how you should go and jump in the river, Ganga, if you do that. But we are not advocating such an extreme plan of action in this day and age. But we wear the Urdhva Pundra because it indicates the lotus feet of the Lord. So all Vaishnavas, they accept the principle of Lord Hari, Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu as the Supreme Lord, and that we are His eternal servants. All the Vaishnava Sampradayas accept this one point. So when we place the tilak on our forehead, we are actually indicating that I have offered my head in obeisance to the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. My head is placed at the lotus feet of Krishna. This is what we are announcing or what we intend to say. So yes, the tilak represents the lotus feet on our head. So what other reasons are there for wearing tilak? Yes. Yes, very nice. Actually, one of the 64 principles, okay, I'll repeat that. The point was that when somebody else sees a Vaishnava wearing tilak, then that person also benefits greatly. Now, in the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami has outlined 64 limbs or angas of sadhana bhakti. Of course, these angas or these limbs continue even in the stage of sadhya bhakti, perfected bhakti. It is just that the quality of that changes enormously. Initially, it is in the stage of practice. In sadhya bhakti, those same limbs of bhakti are practiced in a perfected way. So as there are 64 limbs, one of them is called Vaishnavanam Sevanam, of serving the Vaishnavas. You can serve the Vaishnavas by actually physically serving them, by remembering them. And one of the ways to serve the Vaishnavas that Rupa Goswami mentions is Darshanam. We won't discuss the other two now because the topic now is not Vaishnav Seva. But nevertheless, one of the ways is to just see a Vaishnava. By having darshan of the Vaishnava, what's the first thing you see? The tilak, isn't it? When you see a Vaishnava, when I see you, the first thing I see is your tilak. Isn't it? It's the most prominent thing that immediately comes up. So the benefits of seeing a Vaishnava are given here in Nectar of Devotion. And I'll read that particular paragraph. In the Skanda Purana, there is a similar statement. Persons whose bodies are marked with tilak, symbolizing the conch shell, wheel, club and lotus, and who keep the leaves of tulasi on their heads, and whose bodies are always decorated with gopi chandan, even seen once, can help the seer be relieved of all sinful activities. Now we are not talking of the person who is wearing the tilak. What happens to him? That's a different story. The person who sees such a person also is freed from sinful reactions. So what to speak of the person who is wearing it? Or who is adorning himself or herself with it? So when we are in a society of Vaishnavas and we are looking around to see all the Vaishnavas, how many tilaks do you see on the foreheads of the Vaishnavas? So we can see the benefit that we get simply by looking at Vaishnavas. Very nice. So what else? What are the other reasons for wearing a tilak? Yes. Okay, most of the points we've discussed are external things, but it also indicates our own personal relationship with the Lord. Yes. Actually, wearing a tilak for a devotee means that the devotee, first of all, is declaring to the world that I am a servant of Krishna. I am a devotee of Krishna. This is your proclamation, your declaration. When people dress themselves or adorn themselves, they are sending a message. Isn't it? Do you agree with me? The style of dressing, the manner of dressing, what kinds of things we wear, and nowadays it must be said what we don't wear. All these things indicate the consciousness of a person. It indicates some message we want to send out to those who see us. Generally, the materialistic tendency is that we want to appear attractive to others. And therefore, we make our appearance in the outside world in such a way that others will appreciate. So there are sattvic ways of appreciation, rajasic ways of appreciation, tamasic ways of appreciation. So dress and ornamentation can be in all three. So it can also be transcendental. So if someone dresses in a tamasic way, very dirty, torn, right, unclean, no bath, etc., etc., tamasic way. So he's sending a message. Someone is dressing in a very rajasic way. It is obviously meant to stimulate the passions of others. So that is not considered a very good thing. There has been much controversy in the modern days about how dressing should be, because many terrible incidents happen where ladies have been molested and so on, and this controversy has come up many times. And the modern mentality is that we are free individuals, we should be free to dress, have dress or the lack of it, as we like, because it is our free will, our individuality. So this is an expression of the mode of passion. Sattvic dressing is when, or appearance is when, you're in the mode of goodness. And when someone sees you, they feel very peaceful. And transcendental dressing is when you remind people of Krishna when dressing. So we are also sending a message out. I am a devotee of Krishna. So please deal with me appropriately. So I am sending out, I am helping others remember Krishna, which is a very positive thing in and of itself. And I'm also cautioning them, please, you know that I'm a devotee, so there are certain things I do and certain things I don't do. So please, my request to you is, don't deal with me in certain ways, or don't behave around me in certain ways. That's a message we are sending out. And it's also a message we are sending out to ourselves, that I am a devotee of Krishna. So we internalize that external symbol of a tilak. And then we remember that I am supposed to be a devotee of Krishna. This is my eternal relationship. This is my real identity. I am not a rich person, a poor person, a doctor, an engineer, a male or a female, or a child or an old person. These are external bodily identities, important as they may be in our daily affairs, but our real identity is that we are servants of Krishna. We are devotees of Krishna. So we wear this to remind ourselves as well. And it's a protection for us as well in another way. We spoke of protection of the physical body, right? When we wear the tilak. But when we wear the tilak, there's another kind of protection that comes up, is that publicly you cannot go and do something wrong. When you're wearing a tilak, you can't walk into a bar, you can't walk into a cinema house, yes? You can't do something objectionable because, oh, I'm wearing a tilak, what are people going to say? So it is our own protection as well. It reminds us, I'm a devotee of Krishna. So we internalize this. You see, much is being made that of the fact that dress is something external, appearance is something external, and ultimately Krishna consciousness is internal. And therefore dress doesn't really matter. At one level it is true, the dress is external. One may wear a suit and a tie and so on and be a pure devotee. And one may, on the other hand, have all the external trappings of a devotee, dhoti, kurta, tilak, and kanti mala, shaven head, everything, beautiful shikha also, and still, not be a devotee. One can just wear these things and not be a devotee. So yes, merely by wearing a dress, one doesn't become a devotee. And merely by not wearing a dress, one doesn't cease to become a devotee. So yes, to that extent, this point is valid. However, dress or external adornments do play a role in our life. Otherwise, why do we have these things? Why do we have tilak? Why do we have the kanti mala? Why did Srila Prabhupada and the acharyas recommend certain ways of dressing and not dressing? Obviously, they play an important role in our consciousness. How you dress also affects the way you think. Now, many of you are householders who go out for work. For the Matajis, it is okay because mostly you wear saris, and whether in the temple or whether outside, you're still wearing saris. So it's one thing. It doesn't make that much of a difference for all of you. But for the men, when they come to the temple, they wear dhoti kurta. At least we should try to. And when they go out for their professional work, they have to wear pants and shirt and suit and tie. Now I want to ask all of you who do that, does it change your way of thinking or not? Does it have a subtle and sometimes not so subtle impact on your consciousness? It does make an impact. Yes? Even gross way, yes, it makes an impact. It affects our consciousness. That is why, of course, also to others it sends a strange message. You're supposed to be a devotee and then you're, in that. Therefore, one of the reasons I feel very awkward to go to these Arabic countries is because you have to change. Then you have to go in civil clothes, as they say. You can't go like this into those countries for their own reasons. So anyway, so similarly tilak, yes, it can just be a simple formality for somebody. But for somebody who has that proper consciousness, the tilak can be very meaningful. And it can be a very deep expression of that person's devotional consciousness. That person may connect with Krishna very strongly because of that tilak. Something as simple as a tilak and a kanti mala. One time, one devotee was serving Srila Prabhupada, and that devotee's kanti mala had broken. And so he didn't have a kanti mala when he went in to serve Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada said, "Where is your kanti mala?" He said, "Prabhupada, it's broken, it's being repaired, it'll be back in a day." He said, "Not even for a moment should you be without the kanti mala." And he sent him out to get another kanti mala and back. So likewise, these things like tilak and kanti mala, why would Prabhupada emphasize them so much if they are merely just external things? But yes, they can be external things only if that is how we look at it. So for us, the tilak is also something that helps us to internalize this consciousness. What else are the reasons why we wear tilak? Yes. Can someone repeat that? I could not hear. Okay. So the point is, the suggestion made is that Yamaraj will not attack the body when one leaves the body. One will not come to us with tilak. Yes. That is very correct, and that's also stated in the Nectar of Devotion. If you want to keep Yamaraj away, I mean, Yamaraj has also two hats, you know. And one hat, he's a great Vaishnava. Right? He's a Mahajan, one of the 12 Mahajans. So he's worshipable for us. So we want the association of a great Vaishnava. But when he comes as a Vaishnava, but when he wears his other hat, then he will come to us as the god of death, one with the punishing rod there, and who's going to take us, drag our soul away, the subtle body, get punished and see all the decision is made, and you know what sins we have committed, what pious activities, and which destination we should be sent to, etc. So we want him wearing that hat, but not wearing the other hat. But when Yamaraj approaches with his Yamadutas in his professional capacity, then that capacity we don't want to see him in. So if you're wearing a tilak, then Yamaraj stays away. Ah, here's a Vaishnava. And Yamaraj and his dutas, his associates, have learned from the story of Ajamil. So now they are very cautious after that incident. So anyone who's chanting Krishna's names, anyone who's wearing tilak, the Yamadutas immediately, they stay away. So therefore, we should never be without tilak at any time. Even when we go to bed at night, we should wear tilak. We shouldn't think, I'm going to sleep now, I'm not going to be seen by anybody. So it doesn't matter. But yeah, Yamadutas will be seeing you. And many other ghostly beings may be seeing you also. So not only are you going to be protected from Yamadutas and Yamaraj in his professional capacity, but we will also be protected from all sorts of ghosts and from bad dreams and such things. So even at night in our sleep, the tilak is very helpful. Good point. Any other points? Why do we wear tilak? Yes, a little loudly please. To show our respect for the instructions of our acharyas, all right, because we are doing it in obedience to their will, their instructions, okay. And why? The question is, of course, why are they instructing us like this? That is the point. Any other suggestions? Why do we wear tilak? Yes. It's a sense of identity that I am a I am a Vaishnava. That we have discussed, but also you see, amongst Vaishnavas there are various groups. So you are giving your specific uniform. So it's like a uniform of a devotee. A policeman has a uniform. You see, when you see the policeman in the uniform, then you understand that the strength of the government is behind that person. That one policeman in that uniform, he can just hold his hand like this and the car will have to stop. But if you and I just hold our hands up, nobody will stop. So is it that that policeman is a Superman or something like that? No, he's just representing a greater power. That uniform indicates that there is a great power behind him. So similarly, when we wear tilak and kanti mala, etc., then we indicate that there is a great power behind us. We are with Krishna. Krishna is behind us. And also it's our identity. So the different Vaishnava sampradayas, they have slight differences in siddhanta. The broad siddhanta or conclusion is the same. That Sri Hari, Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are His eternal servants and we surrender to Him. And develop love for Him. We become His pure devotees. This principle is valid for all the Vaishnava sampradayas. There are four primary Vaishnava sampradayas. But there are variations in the siddhanta. There are philosophical differences in a subtle way. Sometimes very important, sometimes minor points. So even within a sampradaya, sometimes there may be differences. Like for example, in the Sri Sampradaya, You have a tilaka, one kind worn by the Tengalai sect and the other by the Vadakalai sect. And one time I remember, I think Prabhupada said it, that there was a court case about the elephant in the temple. Which kind of tilak should the elephant wear? Because elephants are also given tilaks to wear, you see, in the temples. So the Vadagalai the tilak or the Tengalai tilak? That became such a contentious matter that eventually they couldn't sort it out there. So it went to the High Court, and the High Court, if I remember right, the judge was a Christian. So he said, you know, you people sort it out, you know, what can I say on this matter? Yes? So it shows there are slight differences in Siddhanta. Of course, the topic of the day is not what is the difference between these two. That's also an interesting topic. But the point is that it indicates your identity, even in the society of Vaishnavas. We'll come to a brief mention or discussion of the tilaks of the different sampradayas later. But alright, the point is well taken. What else? Any other points? Yes. To please the Vaishnavas. To please the Vaishnavas, alright, we wear tilak to please the Vaishnavas because they feel happy when a Vaishnava sees another person with a tilak, you feel so happy. Actually, we see this happening many times. Let's say you are traveling somewhere. You may be in Bangalore or you may be in some other city, another country, and suddenly you see someone walking with a japamala, bead bag. What do you feel? Immediately you feel a connection and you want to go and talk to that person. Where are you from? Where? Start. Immediately the friendship is established. So then other Vaishnavas are pleased to see your bead bag, to see you. Of course you may or may not be wearing tilak at that time, but the Vaishnava chinna, that is there. So it pleases the Vaishnavas by doing that. Good point. What else? Yes. I could not hear you. Can somebody say that again? To be fixed in Krishna consciousness always. Okay, yes. So that is the connection to our internal development. We do it for our own faith, our own conviction, our own spiritual protection also. All right? Yes?
We don't decorate our body with any cosmetics. The only way we decorate is with tilak.
Okay, we don't decorate our body with any cosmetics, only with tilak. Now that is a little strong point. It may be a little controversial. But yes, for if you want to be brahmachari, yes, that is a fact. No kinds of jewelry and ornaments and all those things will not be there for you. The only thing will be kantimala and tilak. Yes. That's also right. Actually, in the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second chapter, there is a description of the symptoms of Kali Yuga. And it's a good read for all devotees. You know, contemporary affairs, you want to understand, you read second chapter and you will see. So one of the points mentioned there about the symptoms is that merely by taking bath, a person will think that he is fit to appear in public. Of course, nowadays people don't even take bath, that's another matter. And still they think themselves fit to appear in public. I know one devotee who was working in a European country for some years. And then he came back. And one day in the course of a conversation he was mentioning how people in that country take bath once a week. Of course it's a cold country and all that. But even though it's a cold country, they have all sorts of heating facilities inside the house and there's no problem. It's not as if they're living in the Himalayas and, you know, like when we went to Yamunotri, you know, we did, it was bitterly cold even though it was not yet proper winter. But for us, it was bitterly cold. It was below 0 degrees. And somehow we managed there and of course we had darshan, but for most devotees, The favorite place was that hot kund. After a quick darshan, everybody rushed there. It is like a modern day sauna. You can go and have nice warm bath. So there were many villagers who were living in the nearby village. And our devotees were talking to them. Many of them are serving as pujaris or in other capacities in that temple, on Yamunotri there. And it was bitterly cold, and in winter it gets even more cold. So they asked them, what do you do? How do you manage? They saw the house. There's no toilet in the house as well. So you have to go out, say in the peak of winter, you know, in the heights of the Himalayas. What do you do? Even for your daily activities. He said, we go out for our ablutions. We carry a pot of water, but by the time we reach the place, it becomes ice. And then we just have to use the ice. Now, okay, if people in those conditions don't take a full bath, you know, it's something, it's understandable. But in modern countries where there are all sorts of modern amenities, they don't even take bath. And in fact, he was mentioning that the office starts at 8 o'clock, and at 7:45 the bathrooms in the office are full. People rush in straight after getting up of bed. They go and then they brush their teeth and everything in the office toilet or the bath. Maybe a little, and they put a lot of perfume and this and that so that they think they are presentable now to the people. So whatever Bhagavatam is saying is coming out so true. The purport of this is that in cultured Vedic civilization, you never think yourself fit to go out and be seen by others, not just with a bath, but you have to have certain devotional or religious ornamentation like the tilak. So you're not supposed to go out and be seen by anybody without a tilak. But nowadays people have no conception of that. There was one famous case in India where some people went to a conference with wearing some tilak, and there was some politician from a particular political party. I will not get into the politics of it. And he protested. He said, why are you here with the tilak? You are a communal person. So by wearing a tilak, the allegation is you have become communal. So Bhagavatam is playing out in detail now. It's going to happen more and more. So this is the era. So tilak is something that any cultured person, a civilized person should have, according to our Vedic civilization. So wear simply for that purpose. Any other reasons? Sorry? To attract spiritual energy and to keep away non-spiritual energies. Yes, that is a good point. Because all the good spiritual energies are attracted to that tilak, and all the negative energies are kept away. That's very good. What else? Okay, tilak also indicates the kind of destination we are aspiring for. Yes, we are not aspiring for America to get a green card. We are not aspiring for so many countries, but we are aspiring for Vaikuntha. That is our destination. So we are also in line for the visa. But our visa is for which place? Vaikuntha. Okay? Yes? Okay, without a tilak, you are a dead body. That is nice. That means there is no life. What is the meaning of that life? Therefore, when a Vaishnava departs, even on the dead body we put a tilak. You see, when you're doing the final rites, the kantimala eventually has to be taken off, but the tilak will remain on the body of that Vaishnava, even if that Vaishnava is cremated. Yes, someone else had raised the hand. Yes. Trust. Okay, so The suggestion is that there is a question of trust. When people see the tilak, they feel they can trust. Of course, in some ways it works in the opposite way also. They don't want to deal with you, isn't it? But yes, I have heard many devotees say this in their professional life, that when they deal with others, the others become more trusting, because they know that here's a person who is a devotee of Krishna, and he will not do anything wrong, he will not cheat me. So they have that trust and faith. So even in your professional dealings and your social dealings outside, people will tend to trust you more. Yes? Yes, ma'am. Externally, saves you from eve teasing. Okay. Okay, so they know that what kind of person you are. So they don't bother to eve tease. Okay, nice. So it is a protection of sorts. Alright, that is good. Good point. Actually, maybe tomorrow's lecture should continue on tilak, because I'm just on the first topic. But it's good because so many answers are coming out. Yes.
Also said that by putting tilak, we invest those particular areas with spiritual potencies, invoke the presence of Lord in those areas.
Okay, by adorning ourselves with tilak, we invest ourselves with spiritual potency, especially in all the different parts on which we apply the tilak. All right. Yes. Yes, we chant the Lord's names when we apply tilak, isn't it? So the benefit is we are also chanting. With each time you apply a tilak, you have to chant Om Keshavaya Namaha, Om Narayanaya Namaha, Om Madhavaya Namaha, Om Govindaya Namaha, Om Vishnavaya Namaha, Om Madhusudanaya Namaha, Om Trivikramaya Namaha, Om Ramanaya Namaha, Om Sridharaya Namaha, Om Rishikeshaya Namaha, Om Padmanabhaya Namaha, Om Damodaraya Namaha, and Om Vasudevaya Namaha. So every time you put tilak, you have to chant the names of the Lord. It's a benefit, a great benefit. And we are investing the potency of the Lord's holy names there with that chanting. Okay, so what time do we go on till? Tomorrow is a working day. Yes, we're supposed to be till what time? 8:45. Really? I was told 7 to 8. 7 to 8:30. Okay, so we have time. We can go on. Okay. So these are some of the reasons. And there'll be a few more reasons that will come up. But I want to say also that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually instructed Sanatana Goswami, and that appears in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He ordered him to write a Vaishnava Smriti, which means it's like a directory of Vaishnava activities and rules. So what a Vaishnava should do and should not do, how a Vaishnava should do these things, etc. Everything about a Vaishnava's lifestyle, activities, etiquette, behavior, and so on. So Vaishnava, Sanatana Goswami felt himself very unqualified, and he expressed himself like that. But Mahaprabhu said, no, I'm empowering you, so you do that. And then in collaboration with Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he wrote a wonderful text called the Hari Bhakti Vilas. And there is one vilas of this Hari Bhakti Vilas, one chapter that deals with exclusively with tilak. See, so quite a lot in detail is mentioned about tilak, different kinds of tilak and so on. Also in the Nectar of Devotion, I already mentioned that one of the angas or limbs was Vaishnavanam Sevanam, serving Vaishnavas, and how by looking at the tilak you serve the Vaishnava and you become free from sinful reactions. But also, in a couple of other limbs, there is mention of the benefits of wearing tilak, and I'll read those portions. This is the 21st limb. It is called Vaishnava Chinna Dhritihi. Chinna means symbols and Dhritihi means to bear, dharana or dhriti, to wear. And it specifically refers, and also it is called Namakshara Dhritihi. You see, sometimes when you wear tilak, and you'll see this in Vrindavan, in many places, the Nimbarkas do it, many Gaudiyas do it, the Sri Sampradaya also, they do it. The tilak and the markings on the body are the name of Krishna, the different names. That is called Namakshara Dhritihi. So Vaishnava Chinna Dhritihi and Namakshara Dhritihi. So this Srila Prabhupada covers in one topic, in one topic called Tilak and Tulsi Beads. So I will read that. In the Padma Puran, there is a statement describing how a Vaishnava should decorate his body with tilak and beads. Quote, persons who put tulsi beads on the neck, who mark 12 places of their bodies as Vishnu temples with Vishnu's symbolic representations, the four items held in the four hands of Lord Vishnu, conch, mace, disc and lotus, and who have Vishnu tilak on their foreheads, are to be understood as the devotees of Lord Vishnu in this world. Their presence makes the world purified, and anywhere they remain, they make that place as good as Vaikuntha. So that means further benefits. So this is, first of all, an imperative. That means it must be done by Vaishnavas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatana Goswami to write specifically about Urdhva Pundra and Gopi Chandan. He mentions this in the verses there. So it is a regulative principle for us. It is one of the items of sadhana bhakti that we must adorn ourselves with kantimala and tilak. And what is the benefit for the world? He says that their presence makes the world purified, and anywhere they remain, they make that place as good as Vaikuntha. Now, a word of caution. What is that word of caution? We shouldn't pat ourselves in the back. Yes, so wherever I go, I'll make that place as good as Vaikuntha. Now, I should not think like that about myself. I think like that about other Vaishnavas, not about me. Especially about those who are very elevated, very exalted Vaishnavas. But about myself, I should think, oh, I'm just a beginner, I'm just a neophyte. And what kind of purification can I do of other places? I am not purified myself. How can I purify others in other places? But nevertheless, the principle is given here. Continue. A similar statement is in the Skanda Puran, which says, quote, persons who are decorated with tilak or gopi chandan, a kind of clay resembling fuller's earth which is produced in certain quarters of Vrindavan, and who mark their bodies all over with the holy names of the Lord, and on whose necks and breasts there are tulsi beads, are never approached by the Yamadutas. Yes, you had mentioned the point, Yamadutas will never come. See, here is another benefit given in the Skanda Puran, that Yamadutas will never come. And Prabhupada elaborates on this by saying, the Yamadutas are the constables of King Yama, the Lord of Death, who punishes all sinful men. Vaishnavas are never called for by such constables of Yamaraj. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the narration of Ajamila's deliverance, it is said that Yamaraj gave clear instructions to his assistants not to approach the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas are beyond the jurisdiction of Yamaraj's activities. And then another quote that Rupa Goswami gives. The Padma Puran also mentions, quote, a person whose body is decorated with a pulp of sandalwood, with paintings of the holy name of the Lord, is delivered from all sinful reactions, and after his death, he goes directly to Krishna Loka to live in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is Namakshara Dhriti, the last one that we just read. So see the benefits. So when you wear the tilak and you adorn yourself with the names of Krishna, then at the end of your life, you go back to Goloka Vrindavan. The next point, actually the 23rd point, these two are 21 and 22. And then the limb number 23 is called Nirmalya Dhritihi. Nirmalya specifically refers to the garlands offered to the Lord. You should accept those garlands. But in citing this, Rupa Goswami quotes a verse spoken by Uddhava in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which Uddhava is saying that all the remnants of the Lord, whether it is Gandha, you know what is Gandha? Fragrant substances that are offered, including Chandan and so on. Whether it is food that we take as prasadam. I'll read that verse. My dear Krishna, I have taken things which you have used and enjoyed, such as garlands of flowers, scented articles, garments and ornaments, and I eat only the remnants of your foodstuff because I am your menial servant. So therefore, I am sure that I shall not be attacked by the spell of material energy. Unquote. So this is Uddhava's statement. So Prabhupada gives a purport to that. He says, the purport of this verse is that for any person who simply follows these rules and regulations of decorating the body with the marks of tilak, of gopi chandan, or sandalwood pulp, and he puts on the garlands that were offered to Krishna, there is no question of being conquered by the spell of material energy. At the time of death, there is no question of such a person's being called by the constables of Yamaraj. So this is a very important point, which goes on to say that we, if we regularly wear tilak with the right spirit, we will also be protected from maya, material energy. So these are very strong points mentioned here. And also, the 19th anga, or the limb, or the regulative principle, is that we have to avoid seva aparadh. Seva nam aparadhanam varjanam. That's the point. So the point number 19 is that we have to avoid offenses against the holy name and offenses against the deities. What is seva aparadh? Seva aparadh is offense that is committed against the deity. And one of the seva aparadh is nam aparadh. We are very familiar with nam aparadh. Every morning we chant the 10 offenses against the holy name. That is, of course, a very dangerous kind of offense. Seva aparadhas are also very harmful. But even somehow or other, unknowingly, if we commit some offenses against the deities, by chanting the holy names and begging forgiveness from the deities and the Vaishnavas, we can be forgiven for that. Still, one should be very careful to avoid seva aparadhas. And one of the seva aparadhas, as mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami here, is, actually it is the commentary of Jiva Goswami to that, is to not wear Vaishnava Tilak. So for a devotee to not wear Vaishnava Tilak means that we are committing seva aparadh against the deity of the Lord. So these are some backgrounds, nice background. And also, it keeps one's own mind pure and allows one to remember Krishna. So this is an additional benefit. By putting tilak, we actually keep ourselves mentally pure. It helps. If you do it in the right consciousness, then you will see how these simple devotional acts, which we take for granted, which we do so mechanically every day, are actually so potent in invoking the remembrance of Krishna and in purifying our mind. Now, I talked about Urdhva Pundra. Urdhva Pundra means that the tilak goes upwards, and we as Gaudiya Vaishnavas recognize that the left line represents Brahma, the right line represents Shiva, and the space in the middle represents Lord Vishnu. So most sampradayas, Vaishnava sampradayas, they only have the U or the V, which represents, as I mentioned, the lotus feet of Krishna, and it indicates that our head is offered in obeisance to Krishna or Vishnu. But there are variations to this as well, according to the sampradayas. And also sometimes the material of which the tilak is made may also change. In the Shastras it is explained that tilak should be made out of mud from the base of the tulsi plant, or the mud that is obtained, the white mud that is obtained at the anthill, or from Gopi Chandan, or all the dust from Vrindavan. And we also do it when we go to a holy river like the Yamuna or Ganga. You take the mud from inside the river bed and you can put your tilak with that. Many devotees do it with Radhakund mud as well. So these are different substances from which the tilak is made. As Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we prefer the Gopi Chandan, and I'll come to that later if we have time. Otherwise, we'll discuss it tomorrow. The Sri Vaishnavas, they wear a white tilak that is made from the mud that is found near the anthills. And then they also draw a line in between, a red line. That red mud is also found near the anthills where there's a red stone. So the two lines represent Lakshmi Narayan. The lotus feet of, I beg your pardon, the two lines represent the lotus feet of Lord Narayan. And the red line in the middle represents Lakshmi Devi. So their philosophy or Siddhanta is that we can only approach Lord Narayan through Lakshmi Devi. So therefore Lakshmi Devi is present in the middle. They serve Lakshmi Devi and approach Lord Narayan. That is their idea. In the Madhvas, they also have two lines. And then they have a red or a yellow dot just between the eyebrows. And then they have a black line in between. Not all Madhvas will have the black line. The black line comes when you perform a homa or a yajna, fire sacrifice, because that is supposed to be done every day for them. And then they take the ash from that and then they apply that white line over there. So the U of the two lines, they also use Gopi Chandan, by the way. And the two lines represent the lotus feet of Lord Hari, of Lord Narayan. And the dot here represents Lakshmi Devi. And the line, the yajna. Those who don't do that yajna, fire yajna, they don't wear that black line. Now, the Gaudiya Vaishnav Tilak is very similar to the Madhvas. But before that, just a brief mention of the Vallabha Tilak. The Vallabhacharya Sampradaya, they mostly just wear one line. I don't remember which color it is. One line, and that represents Yamuna. Because their Siddhanta is, they especially revere Govardhan and Yamuna. And their worshipable form of the Lord is Bal Gopal. They worship the baby form of Krishna, the childhood form of Krishna. So they surrender to Yamuna. So we can see that the way these tilaks are designed, they indicate their principle of Sharanagati. Who do they surrender to? The Sri Vaishnava surrender to Lakshmi Devi and then go through to Narayan. It is called Sri Charana also. The Vallabhas, they surrender to Yamuna, to Govardhan, and they approach Krishna like that. And the Madhvas also go to Lakshmi Narayan. The Ramanandis found in northern India and in some places in south India also, they are a branch of the Ramanuja Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya, but they are worshippers of Sitaram. So they have a slightly different kind of tilak. As far as the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are concerned, we have the two lines representing the lotus feet of Krishna, but we don't have the black line in the middle like the Madhvas do. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized the Nama Sankirtana Yajna, not so much on the fire sacrifices, but rather the Yajna of chanting the holy names of Krishna. Therefore, we don't need that black line. What about the red or yellow dot representing Lakshmi Devi or Radharani? Now, Gaudiya Vaishnava belief is that we don't directly serve Krishna or even Radharani, who is the best servant of Krishna. We will serve the servants of the servants of Radha and Krishna. So therefore, who is the best servant of Radha and Krishna? Tulasi. So therefore, we adorn Tulasi on the nose. So the mark looking like a Tulasi leaf, that now represents Tulasi, which is not there in most of the other Vaishnava sampradayas. They only have the U on the forehead. But Gaudiya Vaishnavas have this additional mark of Tulasi, which we offer to the lotus feet of Krishna with devotion. So therefore, we beg Tulasi for giving us entrance into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, entrance into Vrindavan. This is our philosophy. So every morning Prabhupada instituted the Tulasi Puja, morning and evening actually. We pray to Krishna. What do we pray to Krishna? To Tulasi Maharani? Now that's the topic. You please go back as your homework. You read the Tulasi prayers again that we chant every day in the morning. And you see how by serving Tulasi, actually what we are seeking from Tulasi is service of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. But through Tulasi, through the other Vaishnavas. So this is our principle. Therefore this is our tilak. And we don't put anything in the middle because we think that is Lord Vishnu's space. And we apply the tilak in the 12 parts of the body, and the 13th we wipe the head. So these are the different, shall we say, styles of putting tilak, each representing a certain siddhanta, a certain philosophy behind it. Now as far as Gopichandan is concerned, the glories of Gopichandan are described profusely in the various scriptures. In the Garga Samhita also, for example, there are many, many statements that indicate the different kinds of beneficial results one obtains by applying Gopichandan tilak on the body. Many of them are of a karma kanda kind, but some of them are of a devotional kind, of how one can attain to Goloka Vrindavan, etc., etc. And in the course of that description, it is mentioned, there is a story given of a king called Dirghabahu. Now he was a very sinful man, and there was practically no sin that he had not done. He had killed many pregnant ladies, he had killed cows, there was nothing that he had not done. Very cruel person, not at all inclined to any pious activities. His life was full of sin. He was a tyrant also. He didn't do any worship of the Lord or even of the demigods. So one day when he had gone hunting in the forest, and in that hunt he also killed a brown cow, one of his ministers, he killed him because the minister wanted to become the king. So in any case, the king was killed. And naturally, the Yamadutas came to take him. And they took him back, and as they took his subtle body along, they were all laughing and they were talking about how terrible and what kind of horrible destinations this person would have to go to. So then Yamaraj and checked with Chitragupta, his secretary. So what should be the destination of this man? And Chitragupta was saying, "Oof, I cannot describe. Every single hell that is existing in this world, he will have to go through that. I mean, there's no hell that he can escape because of all the kinds of sinful activities he has done." So then he was sent, and the first place he went was Kumbhipaka hell, where one is put in a huge pot of boiling oil that is reserved for very gross sinners. And as soon as he was put in that hot pot of boiling oil, the oil turned miraculously cool and pleasing. Now the Yamadutas were bewildered. They were scratching their heads. They went back to Yamaraj saying, "Oh, my Lord, what has happened?" Even Yamaraj could not understand what has happened. So he said, "This is just like it happened for Prahlad. When Prahlad was thrown in the pot of boiling oil also, the oil turned suddenly cool and pleasing and fragrant. What has happened is Dirgha Bahu was such a nasty person. How did this happen to him? So Yamaraj was trying to still figure out what has happened. And then Vyasadev came. And then Yamaraj asked Vyasadev, "Oh great sage, please reveal the mystery to us. Why has this happened?" So Yamaraj said, "You see, the ways of sin and piety and devotion are very complex. Very hard to understand in this world why certain things happen. It is true that this person was extremely sinful, but there was something that he did, some pious activity that was performed unknowingly even, because of which he was saved from the torments of hell." Said, as he was falling down and dying, by some accidental occurrence, he fell down at a place where Gopi Chandan had been dropped by other some people in the past. And because he died and his body was smeared with Gopi Chandan, therefore he was freed from the jurisdiction of hell. And everyone, including Yamaraj, was struck with wonder at the glories of Gopi Chandan. So this was described by Narad Muni in the Garga Samhita. There is also the story of how Gopi Chandan came about, first of all. It is mentioned that when Krishna had shifted from Vrindavan to Dwarka, naturally the Brajabasis were feeling intense separation from him. And the gopis are known as the topmost devotees of Krishna. So they also went one time to Krishna in Dwarka and they met Uddhava. And they said, "Uddhava, please arrange some meeting for us with Krishna. And we want to be with Krishna because he has left us for so many years now." So Uddhava very kindly arranged the meeting at some place outside Dwarka in a beautiful scenic locale. And Krishna came there. He gave up all the royal insignia that he had. He gave up all the royal paraphernalia. He came dressed in his pitambar, the golden dhoti. He had the flute and he had the peacock feather. He came dressed as the cowherd boy of Vrindavan. And then he had many pastimes there with the gopis. And he created a special lake over there called the Gopi Talava, Gopi Sarovar. And then the gopis, they bathed there. There were water pastimes there as well. And all the cosmetics and ointments and things of the from the gopis' transcendental bodies, they all came off because of the water, and eventually they settled down onto the bed of that lake. And it mixed with the mud. And because of the transcendental nature of the gopis' bodies and therefore of their cosmetics and other things, that mud also became extremely transcendentally surcharged, very potent. And later on when the lake dried up, then that Gopi Chandan became available. So that is the pastime of how the Gopi Chandan came there. So Vaishnavas used that Gopi Chandan to make tilak. Therefore, I come back to the earlier point I was making about how the tilak indicates the philosophical understanding of that sampradaya. Now, I indicated the significance of the shape of the tilak. But what about the material of the tilak, the Gopi Chandan? Rather than using mud from the anthill and other places that have been mentioned in the scriptures, why do Gaudiya Vaishnavas prefer Gopi Chandan? Because it indicates the importance that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas give to the mood of the gopis towards Krishna. Because this is our aspiration. We want to follow in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan. Gopi bhartuhu padakamalayor dasa dasanu dasaha. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. He has come to teach us specifically the love of the Brajabasis for Krishna and in particular the love of the gopis for Krishna. So when we use this material, the Gopi Chandan, we are also reminding ourselves that this is our ultimate aspiration in life. This is our goal, our destination. This is where we want to be. So we use Gopi Chandan. And of course, all of you living in Karnataka, you are aware of the glories of Udupi and Balakrishna You know the story of how the deity of Balakrishna appeared. There was some businessman who had taken some merchandise from present-day Gujarat, and he was heading south to sell the merchandise. And in order to balance his boat, the ballast that he had put there was Gopi Chandan. He didn't know the value of it. He thought it was just some heavy mud or some stone. He put it there. The boat got stuck because of some problem in the sea. And this person was in great anxiety. Madhvacharya was present on the beach at that time. He could understand what had happened. He was the incarnation of Vayu, the wind god. So he took his uttariya, his outer garment, and he waved it, and the wind freed the boat from the sand dunes in which it was stuck. The boat was released, and in gratitude, the merchant came to Madhvacharya and said, "Please accept anything that you like from this boat as a gift." Madhvacharya said, "What do you have in the boat?" He saw everything. And then he said, "These other substances that you want to sell, I have no need for all of them. But yes, what is it here? Oh, this is Gopi Chandan. I will take this Gopi Chandan." So it was a very heavy load. And the moment he lifted it and he placed it, it cracked. And from within was revealed a wonderful, beautiful deity of Krishna. That Krishna deity, of course, was originally made by Krishna and given to Rukmini Devi, because she wanted to also understand the childhood pastimes of Krishna, because she had seen Krishna manifesting a childhood form for the pleasure of his mother Devaki in Dwarka, because Devaki had not seen his childhood pastimes, only mother Yashoda had seen. So then that deity was especially made for mother Rukmini Devi. And then the deity was somehow, it appeared in the Gopi Talao, and this merchant had brought it. So Madhvacharya got that deity of Balakrishna. Even dozens of men together couldn't lift it, but Madhvacharya single-handedly lifted it, brought the deity back to Udupi from the seashore, Malpe, where the deity was originally found. And then he installed the deity and he started his mathas and so on. So Gopi Chandan, that is why the madhvas also wear Gopi Chandan tilak. So there are many nice things to hear about tilak. These were some thoughts and some nice information about tilak. So from next time we wear tilak, now we are going to be more cautious of what it is that we are doing. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I think we are a little late now, so we won't have any questions. If you have any questions about today, you can ask them tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, we thank His Holiness Bhaktirasamrita Swami Maharaj for his wonderful narration about tilak. I hope everybody got enlightened more. So, as a gratitude, we will chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra loudly from our hearts.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. There is prasadam for everybody. Just before that, couple of important announcements I wanted to make. One is, all of you are aware that we will be having yatra to Melkote Dham in association with His Holiness Bhaktirasamrita Swami Maharaj. So this week, all those who have registered, their data has been collected in terms of their names and mobile numbers. So by Friday we will start communicating either through WhatsApp, and those who are not in WhatsApp through SMS. So those who don't get any messages by Friday evening, please let us know so that we will cross check whether the numbers are right. And Sunday we will be distributing the bands. Please collect those bands, and before we leave from here, you will be knowing where your accommodation is. So these all information will help you to have a pleasantful trip to Melkote Dham. And please ensure that you collect your bands here itself so that there is no chaos in Melkote Dham. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So request all the devotees to honor Prasadam.
प्रसाद ले ले जल्दी से आप भी ले लो।